The Fan Run Radio crew has closed it within five, 2.5 to go. Charlie Collier with the last bucket. We've been getting stops and rebounds.
And naturally, Vernon Carey Jr., named player of the game. You go 9 of 10 from the field, that'll typically be the case.
Yeah, that was a highlight where he elbowed me in the chest. I just got hammered going to the bucket. Couldn't believe we didn't get a foul. I think, though, the fact they're not calling fouls lately is actually helping us because we're still gooning it up and hammering them around the basket, and it's forcing them to kick out.
Charlie's on fire. Overran the defense there a little bit. Settled in nicely.
Wait,
good D, Davey.
Chance was at the score table, but Bear put him on the bench.
He wanted to keep Charlie in the game. He's on fire.
Smart move. Wow.
Look at Charlie D'ing up out there.
Another deep shot.
Hand up, Billy.
Come on.
Goldwire's going to have a rebound. There's no reason he should hit that.
Oh, Billy.
I was in his face.
Oh, man.
No, that's no way. That's a dagger.
I was all over him.
That's a killer. Yeah, Bear wants a timeout. Hopefully to chew Billy's rear end off.
No, shot clock's running out.
He couldn't breathe.
I didn't defend the ball screen correctly.
He couldn't breathe.
Good Lord.
I was stealing his oxygen.
Ryan Klein moment.
Yeah, you were practicing social distancing on defense.
I was in his grill.
2:01 to go.
When I'm that close to an offensive player, I just grab their jersey.
All right.
That's cheating. Shoot it. Why am I so scared to shoot it?
Charlie,
just get it to Big Charlie
fire.
Inside.
Just
okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
Charlie,
yeah.
We'll get the ball. We got to score here, though.
Need a three. Need a three badly.
Sometimes you just gotta take one.
Guys, all in my grill.
Somebody get open.
Charlie,
pull it, Hodges.
As a foul right there. Did you see Wendell just push me in the back?
Kind of seems like we've...
I forced that one, boys. I'm sorry.
What did Virginia beat us by?
15, I think.
Well, this one's not over, but it is only 8.
We're about
10.
To get dunked on. Yeah. That was a good job. It's a good effort.
Man, I hate losing. I hate it. We got to go. How did you dribbling the ball? That's a double dribble.
We keep giving it to Charlie against Vernon Carey. I don't like this.
Offensive 3 seconds. You've got to be kidding me.
Oh,
now Bear puts Chance in and gets Charlie out of there.
Well, he was on fire, as you mentioned, but that's a pretty bad mistake right there.
Davey Hudson to the center position.
Can we pull a Duke and close a 10-point lead in about a minute?
I feel like we need to come double team and get some turnovers. Can't let them just run the shot clock down.
And then inside to Carey.
Good defense.
All right. Good job, Davey.
All right. Okay.
All right, let's go. We need a quick three.
I'm wide open.
Williford's there.
Oh, gotcha. I got you.
Mid-range. Missed it.
It's just dumb.
Chance. Rebound. Good.
Chance should have been in this game.
Yep.
Hours ago.
Blame it on Bear.
I do.
We need a Mr. Mid-range in the ballgame. Looks like it's going to be too little too late.
Start fouling or something.
And we can at least trap him or something. We're just... Bear's just like, play it out.
I guess he's giving up.
Yeah.
He's letting us learn from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Get those looses out of the way.
I probably got away with a foul there. Probably got away with one.
28 seconds left. We're going to lose.
Yep.
77-69.
Starting the season 0-2. Not ideal, but
Nah.
We shall persevere.
Well, at least they're good teams. And then, Hodges. Hodges falls for the okie doke back screen. There was no screen. Mm-hmm. Gets held up by, nothing. There you go. Come on.
Oh, behind the back.
You like that, don't you? Hodges, another deep three.
There we go.
Rattles home.
Where was that a few possessions ago?
That's a really good question.
Why are we
going to foul Bear?
Yeah, we're not even pressing.
Just letting it run.
Bear. Out. We got a chance there to get a turnover.
Wow. You just really hate to see
letting
this.
Letting it run out.
It's like they all need to be playoff type games so that we do the fouling and the
game. You would think
Duke dribbles
NBA
it out.
Regular season 79-72. Foul to try and
Bear's not going to shake Coach K's hand. He just waved at him.
Just waved and walked
off. It's coronavirus. It's just safer that way.
I think it's Rat Boy.
Did he really just wave at him?
Yeah.
79-72.
Bear's off to a terrible start.
Hot seat for Bear. Are we ready to do this? Are we ready to officially fire up the hot board?
I mean, when Pruitt was 0-2, I'm pretty sure Bear had him on the hot seat.
Does Hodges need to go player coach? He's got some experience.
Total Vols move wants to know if there's any way we could do this over the summer with college football and have us and listeners both on the football team.
Yeah, I would say it's possible. It won't look as good. Graphics, mm-hmm. 2014.
Well, it'd be okay. It would be terrible.
Can you make college teams in Madden? Can you like create your own teams?
I don't have the Madden game, I would.
But if we had it, if we could get it,
maybe.
Like, do they have rosters you can download through Madden?
I don't know.
Would be college teams where you kind of like what you did for this. You upload a image and then that's your team logo or whatever.
I feel like football would be better than basketball version. Like you could. If you tweak the rules in Madden, it'd be...
Chance got 14 minutes, had 13 points.
Led the team in scoring again.
6 of 9.
Yeah.
Billy, 1 of 4 from 3.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. Keep scrolling down. Let's see what me and Hodges did.
I think we played through Charlie a little too much there.
Yeah, I did too.
He only got 17 minutes, 10 points.
10 shots, though.
I mean, we just 10 shots.
Billy, you took 10 shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a starter.
Hayden, 8 points on 4 of 7. That's really good.
Chris, 3 of 8.
Only got 1 3. One.
You made it.
I know.
You're only minus one. It's pretty good.
I'm 17 points better in this game.
Minus 19 on the season.
Thank you.
Getting.
Could be worse.
Davey, almost with a double-double.
Needed another 3. The one he missed would have been huge.
I think the problem is we just share the ball too much.
Oh, yeah?
That's it. We're too unselfish.
Yeah.
Doug Paul tweets in, says, what kind of buyout does Bear have?
That's a good question. Who are you going to get, Fan Run?
I'm telling you.
You better have somebody lined up.
Well, you're already getting the player salary, Hodges. You're just a little bit coach on the floor.
Should we have a listener submit their resume to be our coach?
To be the coach? It's not a bad idea.
John Acree tweets in, says, we might need to start Chance from now on. Yeah. Best player on the team.
But, okay, hold on. That's what the blitz was coming at Bear for yesterday. I made the argument that we need someone to come off the bench that can carry that scoring load when most of the starters go out of the
game. Like 2 years ago, Jordan Bowden.
Correct.
Mm.
Chance is 2 years ago, Jordan Bowden for this team. Without him, heck, where would we be?
I love how
0-2,
getting my
but by
shot,
more.
Getting my shot blocked was part of my highlight. I love that. I mean,
there's that layup you made.
I did get the runner and the three.
The rattle home three.
But then I get my shot blocked.
I think that they give you credit for that rebound.
For a rebound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got your shot blocked, but they're giving you the rebound.
Thanks.
Off the block.
Stat sheet stuffer, Nate Hodges. 5 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal.
Rick Butler.
Brandon again.
He got 17 minutes. Can't complain about playing time this time.
2 shots. I took a 3. Is that Brandon's game? Deep 3?
I don't know.
Doesn't feel like Brandon's game.
Why got put on the bench? Oh, Reed. Terrible game.
John Reed.
He had a dunk in the last game.
Yeah.
19 minutes, no points, 0 of 3. It's not really his fault. Vernon
Carey.
He had
Carey, to extend a lot of energy on defense.
And Vernon Carey defending you in the post. Not going to give up too much.
Yeah,
to...
Russell Smith, same thing, no points. Did have 5
Wait,
rebounds.
Oh, that's right. His hook didn't count.
Yeah, it was after the shot clock expired.
Let's see if his...
His plus-minus was 9, though. When Russell was in the game, the Velvet Vocal Corps, just the leadership, I guess. I don't know.
He's a very calming, soothing source.
Uh-huh. See if his big block was part of his highlight tape.
It's a good rebound there. A steal?
Oh, that was it.
No, that wasn't it.
It wasn't?
Look at all these rebounds. Good job, Russ.
Didn't score, so that's all.
Well.
I thought it was right there.
Oh, that was it. They didn't
cut away from
the clip.
That's
a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Home court.
Foster Corley says heel coach. So there's one resume.
There you go, resume.
That's all it says. I'll be the damn coach.
Cody, 1 minute.
-2.
It's a bad minute.
That was that tip in at the quarter.
He's got to get the sea legs under him. He's new to the team.
Yeah.
This is his first game.
Right.
We can't Vescovi him and start him and play him for 35 minutes. Mm. We got to ease him into the flow. 5 of 15 from three. I thought we were shooters. What about?
We got to hit threes if we're going to win. We're short.
We got no chance. What's our offensive style? Can we not do
shoot
like.
Shoot at will, get shooters open?
So much for that. We'll figure it out.
We scored more points off the bench.
We did against Virginia, too, I think.
What's our who's next for us, Billy? What's our next matchup?
Yeah, who do we get tomorrow?
It's Illinois.
Yeah.
That's a winnable game.
We're going
to
win.
That's a we can't you cannot go 0-3 to start the season. Jeremy Pruitt knew that.
Yep.
0-2, you can bounce back from 0-2. You cannot bounce back from 0-3.
Mm-hmm. Just like the NFL.
So, will we play all these teams twice?
Only it's a 30 power 36 teams. 35 game schedule.
16 teams make the bracket.
So, what are some of the other teams that you went power 36?
That might be a little misleading because I think like Wichita State might be in there.
I'm assuming the Kentuckys, Florida, LSU.
Kentucky for sure. Florida.
Michigan State.
Michigan.
UCLA.
I think so.
Okay.
Creighton. San Diego State. North Carolina.
Gonzaga.
Some really good opponents.
Tough schedule for the old Fan Run Radios. Is that our mascot? Radio?
Yeah, they say Radio Ball.
Yeah.
Like Blue Devil Ball. Yeah. We are Radio.
We're Radio.
Yeah.
All right.
One in Stripes says, none of the other 37 know how to work an official better than I can. He gives us an edge that others can't.
Now, this is the resume I'm
new
in.
New leader
for.
In the clubhouse. Yep. One in Stripes.
One in Stripes.
But, yeah, we got a fire bear.
We got that. Is it time for the players-only meeting?
Yep.
I mean,
I think that's what we're having right now. I think that's what this is.
I'd like to get some post-game notes from Bear.
I'd like to hear something. I mean, an excuse, a reason.
Right now.
At least if he talks, we can judge him based on what he says. He didn't even shake Coach K's hand. That's fireable.
Boy on the radio.
Well. Dr. Fauci says he doesn't think humans should shake hands ever again. Do you want to do your coronavirus update next segment?
We'll do that next. A lot of good news. That one's a weird one. We'll come back. Stick with us right here. It's hour three.
Billy's
three
five
out.
Blinks are might be the thing.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back in hour three. Three and out. We took another L.
Just licking our wounds.
Yeah. Illinois tomorrow. Billy, are you going to start putting these on Twitch when we have some of the other games, I guess? Do we need to start letting people know where to follow along?
Yeah, I'll just I'll tweet it out every time with a link to the Twitch live stream.
Who do we play after Illinois? I don't know. Maybe give the fans Illinois tonight. And then another game tomorrow, if that's a little bit more exciting.
Illinois, maybe. Seton Hall, Michigan, Arizona, Maryland.
Either way, I don't care. Whatever you think, Bill Will. Just still disappointed in our performance.
Just got to find a coach. I'm calling Forbes. it is time for the daily COVID-19 update.
435,167 confirmed cases in the United States now, 14,797 deaths. Did you see where the modeling that the government has been using updated again, has continued to update as the numbers have been better and better than they were originally projected, which is very good news. And now I'm hearing that the peak could be as early as Sunday for the whole country.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm. That'd be April 12th. I mean, in Tennessee, they'd already updated it to where it was going to be like the 15th to the 16th. But I don't know if, I mean, in the U.S. really it's New York and New Jersey that have just, you know, kind of exploded with cases. Really, everybody else has been more of everyone else's numbers, I guess, their increased rates have made more sense. New York has 151,000 of the 435,000 cases. And then New Jersey has 47 more. So still, you're still pushing, like we have from the get-go, that New York and New Jersey have almost half the cases in the United States. And California, even with their, you know, large population as a state, while they are up there, they're still more in line with states like Louisiana, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Florida, Illinois, Georgia, Texas. Everyone else is under 10,000 confirmed cases. So, good news on the coronavirus front there. Around the world, too, those countries that were hit earlier than we were in Europe have all continued to have a lower daily case count than their peak. So that's good news, too.
So where do you stand on where we're at? Because obviously we have flattened the curve. We're hopefully coming up on the peak. But then what? Because I'm sure the fear is, oh yeah, everything's just back up and running. Let's go get it. And then you got more hot zones. You got breakouts. You got infection spreading everywhere. And then we close it down again.
Well, what I would do, it's just me, but I mean, our daily confirmed cases in the U.S. for the fourth day in a row yesterday was less than our peak day, which was April 4th. So April 4th is still the high water mark with 34,000 cases. 2 days ago, we almost hit it. We were at 33,000. Yesterday, 31,000. So we're right there, hopefully starting to hit the plateau. Now, we may go up a little bit more, but let's assume over the next week that by the end of 7 more days, we can tell that it's going to start going down. What I would do is, because you're going to have that week, you're going to have a whole nother week probably after that where you start to consider these things, is I would watch Sweden. And if Sweden still has their businesses open and they don't have a spike, if they're significantly the same as other countries around them, then I would try to gradually open things up just to where they are. Then I would wait and see what the numbers are like, make sure we don't get any more increases, then gradually open more. And, I mean, Mike Gundy threw out May 1st for, like, playing football. I don't know if that's realistic, but May 1st to have some things back to normal, I think, would be, because I don't know. I mean, what Sweden's done is they're taking all the precautions we're taking, but without just closing things down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a church in Thousand Oaks, California, I think, that took a lot of heat because they really wanted to have communion on Palm Sunday. They only allowed 10 people in the building at any one time. They had them very spread out. They sanitized after every single person came
mm-hmm.
in,
mm-hmm.
But they still just got crushed for it, just for being open, which I don't understand. I mean, I understand all the debate around that, and it really doesn't matter. That's not why I bring it up. But I just, if we can do things in one place, the same that's closed at the moment, the same way we're doing things in another place that's open at the moment, I don't understand the difference. Does that make sense? If there's one store that's considered essential, say like Lowe's, and they're doing it one way, they're allowing people in at intervals or whatever, I don't know, taking whatever precautions they're doing, at some point it feels a little unfair to not let a store, because, I mean, you can survive without going to Lowe's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can live. You can survive. At some point, it's going to feel a little bit hypocritical to not allow other things to start opening, provided, and you can put in a lot of precautions without being closed. And that's what I think you should do. It's a very gradual, because I think the whole, like, open it all up for 2 weeks, close it back down for 2 weeks, open it all up for 2 weeks, that's not effective. Because that's you saying the only way we can survive this thing is if everything's locked down. And I don't think that's true. There's got to be a meet in the middle point where there's some acceptance of risk while also not being stupid. Like, I don't think we should all start handshaking each other and packing into Neyland Stadium next week. Like, that would be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think there's a way to let some businesses, to let businesses that have been closed open back up with social distancing practices being applied. I mean, I'll take one of our longtime sponsors. You can't tell me Hops and Hollers with this weather can't let people walk into their indoor building, pick up a beer, carry it outside, sit in an outdoor area,
sure,
6 feet away, mm-hmm, around the you know, the bocce courts and the fire pits and
100%.
And hang out and have some social time with those precautions in place.
Like, they definitely, I mean, I don't think they're the problem. They worry about people, I guess, falling back into the, oh yeah, everything's fine pattern, and then people get a little too close, people start to break the rules, contact is made. I mean, I do think people are kind of learning how easy it is to come in contact with someone else or something that someone else has come in contact with. Stuff you didn't ever even really think about before, like entering your PIN number at the gas station on the pump, right? Like, all of these things are now at least in people's brains. But I do think that the worry is, it's not so much that, oh yeah, open it up and throw everybody out there. Even if you put those precautions in place, I think the fear is that, you know, there are things that we still miss. You touch this door, I come in, touch the door, so on and so forth. Restrooms, countertops. But at least the peak's getting here quicker, and it's much, much lower than anticipated.
Much lower. I mean, we're not even to 15,000 deaths yet. That's less than 2 days normally from just everything else, even when the coronavirus doesn't exist. I mean, the death count's way under any model people used to put in these precautions. Mm-hmm. So while I hear you, I do think I think what we've done has helped a great deal. I also think we severely overestimated the power of the virus.
Fair.
I think both things have happened simultaneously, and that's where we are. So there's got to be, I mean, it's only been a month. It feels like about 3 months to me.
At least it's been one.
I mean, you would think after another month, we would be, got to be pretty close to, you know, and you'll just have so much more data. Like, that's the, mm-hmm, that's the thing. You'll know so much more. Like, we know now after this month that it's, you know, that at least to this point, other places aren't going to skyrocket the way New York has. That was kind of the fear. New York would skyrocket. 3 days later, it'd be L.A. And 3 days after that, it'd be Chicago. And then, like, every big city is going to have a massive outbreak. That's,
right.
That's not happened. I mean, there's tons of debate. Like, was it New York leadership's fault because they told everybody to continue to ride the subway and go party?
Probably didn't help.
Is it because of their population density? With my mathematical background, I tend to think it's probably all of those variables, different levels. Everybody wants to just black and white things and say, oh, it's this one variable. That's what causes everything. Usually it's, you know, it's everything. So, I don't know. With each passing day, though, it seems like we're getting better and better news, even if it's not really good news yet.
Well, speaking of good news, bad news, I have some very bad news for Davey Hudson.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We'll come back with that. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Us. Not looking good.
Right here. There you go. Welcome back in. Three and out. We got bad news for Davey Hudson.
Yeah. What happened? How bad is bad?
Well, you know your longtime futures bet on Tua Tagovailoa going 19 or higher?
I He's got to go 18.
18 or higher?
Yeah. Maybe it's 19.
Former Cleveland Browns GM and longtime NFL analyst Michael Lombardi said sources have told him that two teams, including one team drafting in the top 10, have flunked Tua Tagovailoa in their pre-draft physical. Lombardi said it's not only his hip, which ended his season in mid-November of 2019. It's a, quote, multitude of injuries that the former Crimson Tide star has suffered during his college career. Quote, Lombardi said, it's not just his hip, it's his ankle. It's his wrist. He's brittle. He's brittle and you can't deny it. He broke his wrist on the first day of spring practice in 2018. The Alabama quarterback also missed game or practice time with two separate ankle injuries that required surgeries and a knee injury during his time in Tuscaloosa. Lombardi also noted the high bust potential of NFL quarterbacks taken in the first round over the last 15 years, including Mark Sanchez, Josh Freeman, Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn, Jason Campbell, and P.J. Losman. Lombardi says he agrees that Tagovailoa could become a star in the NFL, but is dubious of his ability to stay healthy. He's a really good player. I'm not disputing the evaluation. I'm saying that if you're picking a quarterback, it's really hard to pick a good one. It's even harder with a guy who can't stay healthy.
I think going back to 1999, which would give you 20 years of data, of quarterbacks drafted in the top five picks, only one quarterback has won a Super Bowl, and that quarterback's Eli Manning.
How much money did you have on this bet?
Like $10 probably.
Yeah, more than I wanted. Now, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things. Obviously, it's very hard for these teams to conduct the medical exams like they would like, and it probably,
yeah, I'm
it
not exactly sure how they did it.
It doesn't bode well for me, the fact that this is the one year that teams aren't really able to examine him to see for themselves. But, I mean, we've seen teams... just, I guess, to kind of make this full circle for why Tua ended up at Alabama in the first place, Miami's medical staff did not clear Drew Brees to go play for the Dolphins. Mm. They instead signed Dante Culpepper. It does not work out. Nick Saban leaves the Dolphins because he can tell this is not going to be something that's likely to last for a long time. He goes to Alabama, and as Tennessee fans know, that has been terrible to watch if you are not an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. So every team's going to have their take. If I'm looking at it, I don't know how to feel. As far as him getting drafted for the bet to cash, I don't see a situation in which he falls out of the first round. Everyone wants to say, yeah, New England's just sitting there at 23. There's really no way he falls to New England, right, for that pick?
I don't know. That's what everybody's joking about, that Belichick is licking his chops at the thought of getting Tua sliding down the board. I'm just sorry for your bet. It's a tough one.
I will make it. April 23rd is the first round, so I got 2 weeks. 2 weeks to the day. When we will find out. But
2 weeks till the draft. Man.
I'm not very excited about this draft. No? No.
I'm very excited.
I'm excited because it's something, and so because it's sports related at all, I'm going to be excited about it, but this draft just doesn't really do it for me.
There's so many good skill players, though. Maybe he'll come around. Dude, it's a long time into the draft.
You're right. I'll try.
Well, I am interested just to see how this works, because you won't have the players actually be walking up on stage to see how the TV broadcast is going to be this year compared to every other year.
I mean, the TV broadcast, in my opinion, could be just as good, if not better. Because I don't care about seeing the players.
That's
on
what
stage.
I said. That's
I
to
like
me
the
worst
packages and the
that's
takes.
That's the worst part of the draft. I mean, it's probably meaningful to you if you're there and get drafted and get to go on stage and have your pictures taken, but I don't need that as a spectator.
going to my bookie to see if any of the lines have changed as far as when you can draft to or just other prospects that they have going on.
Probably not moving in your favor. But now, I mean, you're already locked in at the you could hedge. Oh. You could hedge if you want.
I don't know, honestly.
Okay.
I got to see if what we got here.
Just tough news for Hudson.
Yeah. Fun for Tua. I mean, you know, millions of dollars and stuff.
So I mean, it's not his fault. Yeah, it's unfortunate that he got hurt, but this is kind of what everybody was thinking, right? Like, okay, let's see. Well, if you don't pass the physicals, it's going to be very tough. And there were people who said he should go back to Alabama. He should prove he can play a year and stay healthy. And then obviously the fear out of Tua's camp is, yeah, but if I do that and get hurt again, I'm worse off then than I would be if I go now. But if you can't pass any physicals, I mean, I realize everyone's, you know, physical evaluation is a little bit different, but will anybody draft him if he can't pass their physical? Do you just sign him then later as an undrafted free agent, or does someone, even though he couldn't pass the physical, you take a chance on him? Like, how does that work? If you flunked the physical, are they saying, yeah, this guy's not healthy, but he's still a risk-reward issue and we're willing to take the risk?
Usually when they say flunk the physical, it means that they wouldn't even allow that
wouldn't
guy
even
to
clear
play
him to
for
play.
Them.
Right.
But my guess is this is more team – it'd be more of a smokescreen. Like a team would say that he's flunked it, but they'd still have him on their board somewhere and be willing to give it a shot because it's not like they caused the injury or anything.
Top NFL bet right now is there's a computer simulation between the Titans and the Cowboys taking place today at noon. Cowboys are a 5.5-point favorite. If Jason Garrett's the coach, I would hammer the Titans.
Can you watch this?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like if we can stream out games, surely to God, the NFL could.
I got my Twitch account set up yesterday. I'm ready to go.
Good. Nice. Yeah.
I feel like if there's money on the line, you better be able to watch it.
Yeah, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah, you got to see if... Cowboys are 5.5-point favorites?
Better on paper. A lot of coaching goes into it.
But that's the thing. If it's a simulation.
I know.
Better on paper matters.
See what prop bets I can get here.
I'd take the Titans.
5.5? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
All right.
Lock it in. You want to be my bookie for my bookie?
No.
Why do you always do that?
You would have lost the 5 fan runners in double figures.
I'll never take that.
We almost won the game.
Yeah, but how many had double figures? Two?
Three.
Just need a couple more buckets.
We just got to be better. Got to get a new coach. He's killing us, man.
Always blame the coach, huh?
You've seen the rotations, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he wakes up. Maybe he's like, you know what? Back's against the wall. I gotta change something with the rotation.
You don't make a move too early, you know.
Who are the assistant coaches?
They almost fired Coach K back in the day, you know.
He needs a big rebound this season.
Currently don't have any assistant coaches.
Maybe that's the problem.
Gosh. No one can work with Barrett. No. What else is new?
Yeah, no one applaud.
Listener assistant coaches, maybe?
Should we? Should
it might be too many cooks in the kitchen then, though. I don't know.
We need help, man. We need the help. We need the help.
Take it under advisement.
Yeah.
Final segment, Three and Out, Thursday edition of the program. As the coronavirus numbers start to trend in a better way, the debate will begin when and how do you begin to open things up. I do think there'll be, I guess Fauci said no more handshakes. Like, I think there'll be a difference in the way we interact with each other for a long time. I don't know how all that. There's what there's what you're told to do, and then there's how people actually behave, you know? And those two things will be kind of interesting to monitor as we go. In the sports world, though, you know, it was an interesting dynamic. Of course, the Masters, we talked about it moving to November, but there were other – and there's other leagues trying to figure out when and how they can get started. Major League Baseball in Arizona, that sort of stuff. The NBA, maybe in Vegas. But it was interesting when we hit on the fact that Wimbledon canceled their tournament, which seemed like it was kind of early. I mean, the tournament wasn't until June. Their explanation was that, well, there's a lot of stuff that has to be done in April and May to get ready. And it's
yeah, we won't have time or ability to get it all done.
And it's on grass. I mean, there's the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club or whatever. Like, I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it. But Davey found an interesting news note on Wimbledon and their financials, which may explain the cancellation at this point in time from the jump.
So Darren Revelle tweeted out yesterday that Wimbledon reportedly paid $2 million a year for pandemic insurance, and they did that over the last 17 years, which comes out to $34 million in pandemic insurance. But for this year's cancellation, as a result of the coronavirus, Wimbledon will reportedly receive $141 million from the policy.
I found we're in
141. What are they? Do we have any idea what Wimbledon makes?
In 2017, they generated $289 million.
Oh, okay.
But I'm assuming that's their total revenue.
Sure.
Count all their cost.
Well, you can look at it like for the next 70 years, if the pandemic insurance stays at $2 million, you got that covered.
What's the purse?
I don't know.
Outside of that, like, how much does it cost to put on this tournament? You said $290 in 2017?
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting $141 million here, so half that? You think their revenue is two times their profit? I don't know. I mean, again, they're not going to make nearly as much money if they'd held it, obviously, and they weren't able to anyway. Like, I don't necessarily blame them for canceling. I'm just wondering if this is a, well, at least we're still going to be able to have some money, or if this is a big hit, or actually if they're making more than they would on a normal tournament.
The purse for last year was right at $50 million total, men's and
women's. So now you're at $240.
I feel like they make a lot of money, right?
I guess cover the lack of revenue from, like, everything nowadays, but just the TV advertising.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I would imagine that's their, you know, Rolex and Jaguar paying the TV ads and the banners inside the stadium. Surprised that they didn't postpone and just went ahead and canceled. They're not able then to collect on the insurance if they ultimately.
Better safe than sorry.
Sure, yeah. And this is the first time since World War II they've canceled Wimbledon and the British Open, if I'm not mistaken.
One of the comments of the tweet was, you know, the guy who pitched this idea 17 years ago is talking big bleep right now. I would not want to be one of his coworkers that was just giving him a hard time.
It was probably his idea. They fired him 10 years into it, and now they're making all this money, and he's, I don't know, jobless. That's a good idea on paper.
I don't know. I found one thing that said the company behind Wimbledon makes £40 million in profit.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's how much are they going to make this year if you just subtract? What were your numbers, Davey, from the total that they've paid out? They've paid out $34 million in
over
insurance.
Over 17 years.
So they've paid 34, but what was the policy going to pay out this year?
141.
Yeah.
Okay. So I bet
£1 equals $1.25.
Yeah, I mean, they'll make more on the policy than this year. It's just so they just go ahead and cancel it.
Those lucky dogs. Insurance pays off, right?
Not want to be the guy holding the policy right now.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they probably, this is probably like your 16 beating a 1. They probably thought pandemic insurance.
You idiots.
One every 1,000 years. Like,
maybe that guy knew something. Maybe we should talk to that guy. He was like, hey, 17 years from now, you're going to be really glad that you bought this. Let's go ahead and purchase.
I got a guy in Wuhan. Like,
he's working on it,
working on it right now.
And the guy that holds the policy, like, it just so happened it came at this time of year as well. Like, you know, we could have had a pandemic in 6 months that Wimbledon would still be able to get the play.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Really good point.
So the odds of it happening for this tournament is just crazy.
Hmm.
Well. Good move by Wimbledon then, I guess.
There you go.
I'm still mad we lost to Duke. You know, someone brought up a really good point that maybe Davey missed some shots. You know, he did miss 4 shots, including a 3. We lost by 9.
Kicked him that perfect pass for the 3.
If it wasn't for my rebounding, we would have gotten beat by 30.
Well, that's a good way to fill the stat sheet and then also make it look like you weren't throwing the game.
Yeah, shaving points.
How many turnovers did Davey have?
0. He did have 0 turnovers.
Okay. I had a couple of steals.
I think
just enough to.
I think he played hard.
All right. If you say so.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was giving John Culberson like effort out there. Just one or two of the shots didn't fall.
I only got 1 look from 3. How many threes did you take?
4.
Mm. Boy, 3 of those shots coming my way. Different game. Tie game, probably. I'm probably going 4 for 4.
Take more shots. I don't know what to tell you.
Give me more opportunities. Quit chucking it up there.
You took 8 shots from inside the 3-point line.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I was 3 of 9?
You were 3 of 8 inside, yeah.
They're tall. they're too tall.
You can see them. They don't shoot when they're not around. You farther out.
I like they magically appear as soon as you drive
this
the
lane.
Good news is Illinois does not have a Vernon Carey Jr.
It's positive stuff.
What's Chris averaging?
7 points a game.
All right. What was your NBA take? How many points you can score in an NBA game? 6?
5.
I think it was 4.
4?
Yeah, it was 4. I thought I could hit a 3 and then just get some other basket.
No, it was 5. It was a 3 and 2 free throws.
I know.
No, I think it was a 3 and I could get fouled and make 1 of 2.
I know we're up against it, but I heard John and Cody arguing this the other day. If you had a full season, NFL running back, could you have 100 yards on the season?
No.
Or score 50 points in the NBA?
I would definitely feel more opportunistic about 50 points in a season in the NBA.
Do you have to count negative rushing yards in the NFL or only your positive ones?
Yeah, no, it's negative because that goes into
my offensive line.
No way in hell.
Which line am I
do
running
think
behind? I get 100 carries and get 1 yard?
I do think anybody
– You get starter carries and starter minutes.
We would break our legs in the first 5 minutes.
I do think there's out a for chance. The season. I do think there's a chance that you can gain positive yardage on 1 carry here or there. But the fact that – as Houston just mentioned, you're going to get injured probably, especially if you have starter level carries. At
25
point,
carry, like, you know,
at some
20
point
plus carries
at some
game.
Point, you're done and hurt. And on most carries, I mean, I would say your average yards per carry is going to hover around negative 0.75.
Cody thinks he could easily do it. I put him at having like negative 300 to 500 yards on the season.
Oh, come on. It wouldn't be that bad. He'd get
500.
Hurt. He'd get hurt before he goes backwards that much.
Well, the average running back has like 2.5 to 3 seconds in the backfield before they even reach the line of scrimmage. That's the average NFL running back.
Mm.
That's what I said.
Negative. No negative 500, though.
Majority.
Look, I'm not saying any of us would be breaking, you know, 20, 30-yard runs. 0% chance.
Maybe
but negative 500.
I mean, I think a better question would be, can you be positive for 25 carries? And you're fresh for all of them. Can you just be positive?
100 carries if you made it to, I guess, the Super Bowl. You're averaging 5 carries a game.
There you go.
Mm-mm.
But that's the thing. Running
I would
back
break in half.
Running back depends on all the other positions more than, I mean, the line more than anything else. That's why they're not that valuable. That's why the whole thing. I don't know.
I'll give me 50 in an NBA game. How many games? 73 games?
82.
50 points.
Yeah. I could get fouled. If my team's up, I go in, they got to automatically foul me.
You can tweet at Vol Rumor Mill if you disagree with that.
Oh, here they come.